Pete, what's up?
Not much. Just coming to hang out with you for today. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
We were just shooting the shit and just talking, and all of a sudden, then you said, I want to come back in and record. And I was like, you're always welcome, man. Come back.
I appreciate it.
You know me. I'm a huge fan of what you've created, and I want to see it more on job sites. And
appreciate that.
I want to see it globally, man. I'd be love to come across people around the world that are wearing it.
That's the goal, right?
That's the plan eventually, right?
Yeah, like it just makes sense to do it, right? So at the end of the day, why not? You don't have to wear it with a harness or without. You know what I mean? So...
What's the elevator pitch? Like when you try to describe this to somebody, what is it exactly? Like, I know what it is, but...
So the elevator pitch basically is like if you're working at heights or if you're working anywhere where you got to wear a harness at all times or you have to put
one on
and off.
Which is pretty much 90% of the time on a job site.
Pretty much, yeah. The pitch is like, it just makes sense. At the end of the day, you have a jacket or a soft shell, right, that you can put on. And if you don't wear a harness, that's fine. It still does the same thing. But at the end of the day, if you have to put a harness on, now you're wearing your harness properly.
Yeah.
And it protects that harness, protects you. And now you have full mobility. Forget about the sore shoulders, you know, all that stuff that comes into play later on. It's gone, right? That's the whole thing. It just makes sense out there, right?
Let me just share the information. So, sorry, what's your last name again, Pete?
Zepetella.
Zepetella?
Yeah, that's why Zeps, because it's too long to say Zepetella gear, right?
No, I don't want everybody to know, right?
It's Pete Zepetella.
www.zepsgear.ca or .com. You can find them on IG, social media, Zeps Gear, and it's Zepps, and then their email is zepsgear@hotmail.com. Is their phone number you want to share? Or?
No, it's fine. You get on any of my social media,
you can reach, right?
Find me anywhere. Yeah.
You're on TikTok as well, too.
TikTok, Instagram.
You got a YouTube channel, YouTube videos, everything like that.
LinkedIn. You can reach me there. Also, Facebook, you can reach me there.
When did we do the first show?
Oh, man. Like
A couple years ago back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had Cicely.
That's when I and my wife. Yeah. Because it's a company-based, like a company. It's family-based. A family-based company.
Mom and pop shop.
It's a mom and pop shop.
That's what it is, right? Yeah.
So that's, we just work together and we're finding, you know, people to make our stuff for us and stuff. Like right now, we're looking at Canadian made and American made. Like I'm looking at a couple companies that can do both in-house there, so that way we avoid all this tariff shit that's going on. You know what I mean?
But it's still expensive to make good products. It's simple as that, right?
At the end of the day, it's not so cheap. But
it's hard. Is it hard to sell for you? Like, it's an easy sell for me because I'm like, listen, this is going to save your life.
Pretty much.
When you need it at the critical moment when you possibly need it, it's going to do what it's supposed to do.
Exactly.
So does it really matter how much you're paying for it? I'm not saying that you're charging a huge amount of money for it. You're charging a fair market value for it compared to other harnesses.
Oh, for sure.
But you're also getting the soft shell or the jacket or what have you.
Yep.
And it's saving your life, man.
And that's the thing. And it can go over top of any harness. That's the whole beauty of it, right? Like I got over 5 patents now. Like across North America on it, because I actually did one for rescue harnesses. I did one for, you know, the guys who climb the ladder masts and stuff like that, do towers and stuff, like where the D-ring comes out here. I got a jacket for that. Like,
how is that whole process, man?
I'm not gonna lie. It takes years. If you're doing it right, it takes a long time.
You've been at it for a decade now?
Pretty much, yeah. I started back in 2015. Yeah.
And then unfortunately, or fortunately, the way you want to look at it, it came to you because you had a scare.
Yeah. Fortunately, what happened was, little story, like what happened was I was on a job site. I'm not going to say what job site. I don't want you to get crucified, but it's on a job site. I seen these guys like come on site.
Hold the mic. Just pull the mic closer to you. Yeah, if you want to sit back.
I see guys come on site, right? And they're wearing these slits, just a slit in their jacket, but they got, you know, their harnesses underneath the jacket.
Yeah.
Got the D-ring hanging off. Man, that's fucking awesome. Like they're moving better. They're more comfortable, right? And I'm like, they're just flying. And I'm like, you know, you got this thing over top. It slows you down. And you're, oh my God. So I'm like, that's great. I acquire one of these jackets, right? And I'm like, this is great. Like, holy shit. Where was this all my life, right? Like,
this is what, back in 2015?
No, this was before then. Probably, okay. I'd say by like 2011, something like that, right? 2012, something like that. And then my own fault. Like, I'm one of those guys, not so much now. Like, I used to be like, yeah, go for break. You know what I mean? I'm just going to finish this up. I'm by myself, whatever, and I'll be down there, right? So I was always late for break, this and that. So I was doing something, and then, you know, we had a static lineup. Like, we had a line. I was tied off to it, which is all good. Everything I was doing was right. But when I finished what I was doing, I said, oh, I'll take a shortcut, right? No shortcut. Like, you got to, that's why I changed my tune. Like, I said, I'll just cross the ledger.
Just
hold the line.
Yeah.
But it's 10 feet, man. I just cross over. I slipped, right? And when I slipped, thank God it was tied off, but the jacket came up, right? And caught me.
Yeah.
Because I'm wearing everything proper now, and I'm like, oh! And I grabbed that standard, because I build scaffold, right? And I grabbed the standard, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I hugged it like it's my wife. Mm-hmm. It was, don't worry, Aaron, I still love you. But I was just like, holy shit. Like, and then I started looking online. Everything was the same. Just a slit in the back, slit in the back. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, there's got to be something better, right? And then, yeah, I had this idea. I'm like, you know what? It's, something's got to happen here. Like, it's got to tear away. Like, it's got to open. So let's be honest. Not everybody drops like a pin. When you fall, like, you're going to just like, oh, hold on. Like, it doesn't happen, yeah, right? Yeah, so, yeah, then I was like, I had this idea mumbling in my head for a few years. And the funny thing is, a friend of mine that, you know, I worked with and stuff like that, comes in one day and he's got all these ripped over, like, coveralls, right? Like, torn to shit. The next week later, comes in, they're all so, like, nice, you know, all the holes. I'm like, hey, who did that for you, right? Oh, he's like, my wife. He did it by hand. What the fuck? By hand? I'm like, oh, I just want to talk to her. I said, I told him straight out, I got an idea, right? It's for something, like, and he goes, okay. So we went and talked, and, you know, they helped me out. Like, she's, like, I had the idea. I showed her what I drew up and stuff, and I said, you know, like,
just give her a sketch of what you were thinking.
Yeah, pretty much, right? And yeah. I love working with her, right? Her name's Tammy, and a great person, man. Like, and she, it's like she reads my mind, right? Like, that's why it's, like, it's hard to find. I've gone to other people, and it's, like, so hard to I'm bad at dictating, trying to dictate something like that. I show you the sketch, and I'm like, oh, I don't get it, right? But we just clicked, and, yeah, we came up with Zepp's Gear. Like, I tried a couple different patterns because I knew it had to open up, right? And the other patterns weren't so great. Like, he falls sideways or whatever. Like, oh, this ain't working, right?
How did you, like, I'm trying to figure out. So she would have, you had a sketch, you put it together. She sewed up a prototype.
Yeah, I bought a bunch of jackets.
And then
I
just did a prototype. And then what'd you do? You did a fake fall?
Me, I actually did. I was the dummy, right? Like, and I actually, the first time is they lived out in the country, right? So okay. I don't have a picture. I don't think I have it with me now, but
I can visualize this, man.
It's not so good, right? It's like, it looked really bad. I'm not going to lie. So I threw a lanyard in a tree, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to climb up the ladder. And right? Like, jumped out of a tree to, nah, this ain't working.
And then you're hanging there and you're assessing it going, hang on a sec, this ain't right, this ain't right. Yeah. Meanwhile, you're basically on the verge of.
Yeah, and, but don't get me wrong. Like, my buddy's pretty big. He's right there. He grabbed me, and then, still, you know, like, you know, but still, it's like, oh, okay, no, yeah, no, we got to change this up. And so it's funny. One day I was sleeping, and I just literally out of my sleep, I woke up. Oh, fuck, I'm an idiot. Like, follow the harness, right? So if you look at the pattern I have.
You got one here. I want people to see it, yeah.
Yeah, so if you look at the pattern I have here, it's actually a V. The whole purpose, it's a V, because your harness comes down as a V, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have your D-ring flap right here, like, yeah. So that way the D-ring comes out, right? Yeah. So once I changed it to the V, every time it would open, because it doesn't matter if you fall this way, that way, it doesn't matter. The harness actually activates the jacket now, right? Where before I tried, like, these circles, all this crap, and it wasn't, like, half of it would open, and I'm like, I don't want that. So you want the harness to work, right?
What number prototype was it, a V? How far
along? Oh, man, I bet you it was
a few?
Yeah, probably 3 or 4 jackets in. Okay. Right? So I had the concept. I just had to figure out how to make it perfect, right?
And then when you did that version and you actually did the test?
Yeah, I was like,
you were feeling okay?
Yeah, because then nothing came up.
Yeah.
You know, the harness is working properly. Everything's working the way it's supposed to, right? So the whole concept of this is back. It opens up and lets the harness out. But while you're working, it just stays closed.
It's closed down. It keeps you warm.
And as long as you got your harness on properly,
yeah,
it doesn't open up when your eyes are like, oh, it open. No, go ahead. I wear it all the time. It doesn't open up because I wear my harness proper, right?
And then as soon as you fall, as soon as it snaps, it just opens up.
It just opens up. Yeah, and that's the whole concept behind it.
Yeah,
and then I just went one step. You know, you got lanyards, right? And I just put lanyard loops here, and I put Velcro here, right? So that way, what happens is if you have a lanyard here and you're walking by something,
you can hook on.
It'll just rip off, or you can hook on. You can just unhook and hook. Everything's in the jacket, right? So that way, the whole purpose is you're wearing your harness snug to your body now. You're not throwing it over top. If you read the actual pamphlet you get from the harnesses, it tells you snug to the body.
Yeah.
And what happens
when comfortable?
You, yeah. When you put it on a jacket. Let's be honest. It's loose. I watch guys. They got the.
It's very loose. Just,
come on, right? You know what I mean. I even see guys wearing harnesses. I'm wrong. Like, that's why, where I put these, it's like an indicator, right? So I put it at chest level.
Yeah, right? So you know exactly.
That's where you got to put your strap. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I did it so that you can literally put the jacket on, fit your harness, like put your D-ring and then actually fit your harness because it holds the D-ring exactly where it's got to be. Now, you know, my chest strap should be there. I'm just going to.
Yeah, that's fine.
We don't need no phone calls coming through here. You know what I mean? Like, that way it's there. I see some guys and they're like, even harness guys, like the guys that teach, you know, the strap. You're teaching this course? Like, I'm just saying, and I'm not saying
it's
any
funny,
courses,
we did a safety
like,
show with Whitecap.
It should be.
They were here. Talking about a 12 inch move. You know? Like, there's a 12 inch play you actually drop.
When you drop, exactly. There is, and nobody wants
to. So if you've got it up here, you're already strangling yourself.
You're choking yourself. That's the whole purpose of why you should have it here. So you can't fall out of it.
Yeah.
Right? Because let's be honest, when like I said, when you drop, nobody's going to drop like a pencil.
No.
You're going to fall forward, back, whatever.
And there's going to be an initial force. It's
snapping
you, right?
Trust me, yeah. it's not so great.
No.
And then you literally got about 10 minutes to get out of that harness. Or like I believe, and I see more of it coming through, which is great, is you should have those reliefs that are built into the harness. Those, yeah. So that way like you can, because you gotta take the weight off, like your cutting feet. A main artery here,
yeah,
right?
I know.
You know, I really, when I did this, I started looking up on harnesses. I started really researching out the whole 9 yards. I didn't just say, I'm going to make something, right? I looked into it, and I wanted to do it right. And I just keep improving it. Like, my newer jacket, like, it's got – I work on bridges a lot and stuff. I notice, like, the radios, you got the – you know, they're all tangled up like cops. You see them.
Yeah, yeah.
Might as well wrap the thing around your neck, right, like the cord. So what I did – this one's an old one, doesn't have it. I put it in an internal pocket, so it's inside
now. For the radio.
For the radio.
So it's out of the way, safe, and it's not going to fall off.
You got it. And all right. I did is I put a zipper here. So now the cord comes through. It's got a loop. So you just tie the cord in. And all you have is the mic. It comes out. Have the mic. You zip it up to the cord. That's it. And all you literally have is your mic. That's all you need out there, right? Yeah, if you want. And guys are, now I got to change the channel. Well, just go like this. Change the channel. Give me a break. Yeah. It's not that hard.
Those guys, especially you're talking to Crane Ops. You're talking to other people on the site. The mic is everything. The radio is everything.
Exactly. Protect the freaking thing. That's the whole concept behind this. Like right now we're looking at, like I said, getting made in the States and Canada. And we're looking at maybe going, like, I have yellow and black right now, but we're looking at going full orange, high vis, across the board, and we're looking at, like, FR. If I can do standard FR rating, you can wear that thing anywhere.
All the time.
Doesn't matter.
There's a limitation to how you know many years you can wear it, right?
Well, no, exactly. But if I buy the jack and all of a sudden I'm on a site where, because that happens to guys all the time, I'm on a site where I don't need FR, right? Now, all of a sudden, in a month, I'm on another site. Well, I need FR. Oh, shit. How do I got to buy another jacket? Where you just buy one jacket, there you go. If it lasts, you know, I forget with FR, I think it's like.
It depends on the use, on how long
I think
you. It's more the washing, right?
It is. The more you wash it, it takes off that.
The coating.
The coating, right?
The protective.
So I think it's a couple of years. If you don't wash it a lot, I think you're good with it 3-4 years.
But don't most 100%. Big companies provide all this gear?
They're supposed to. I've been trying to hit them up and they're like, you know, it is what it is.
Right? I don't understand that part, P. Like, I don't get it, man.
It just makes sense. Like, I'm not, and the cost is the same. All I'm doing is giving you added fee. Well, they don't have to wear a harness all the time. You don't have to wear a harness all the time.
But when
I wear
the
thing
when
I'm walking around, man.
Yeah. What if you're working on a project, you're doing something, you got to jump on something that requires a harness, right?
Exactly.
Listen, you get onto any kind of machinery. It doesn't matter if the machinery is moving. If it's standing still and you're standing on that machinery, you have to have a harness.
Exactly.
These are all the laws, the rules, right?
Right. And that way you're, boom, you got your harness on, you throw the jacket over top. Like if you're inside and then now you got to go outside, you literally just throw the jacket on.
Why? Like, what's your opinion? And I don't want to get too political, but what's your opinion about why can't we make more effort to make safety just an overall blanket on everything? Why does it always have to be a discussion about maybe we already have something similar? Like, why is it kind of like that?
I think my opinion is, I think a lot of it is companies don't want to change.
They're setting their ways with what they've done already.
What they've done, they're like, it's working. It's working. But you got
something
better. But
what if it saves one extra life?
Exactly, right? It saves one life. Hey, man, you're telling me
it's
like,
worth it then.
100% it's worth it, right? So I think that's what it is. Companies don't want to change. The other thing is a lot of companies are just like, it's going to cost me an extra $50. Really? An extra $50? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but what's it going to cost
give
you to lose
break.
A life then?
Exactly. Do you really want that wife or that husband to come back and say, hey, you know, now I'm going to sue your company or whatnot. Like, you know what I mean? Now I just lost a life. Like,
yeah.
come on, man. Let's to me, like I said, it just to me it all makes sense. Like, and I you know, I get it. And I've even tried to team up with like brands, like saying, you know, I'll license it to you. My whole thing is I just wanted, like you
and
were
it
saying,
wasn't receptive?
Some of it was. Like they're like, okay, okay, but then they try to, you know, box you out, right? You know what I mean? Like, so you're getting nothing.
Capitalism, right?
Well, that's just how it is. Yeah.
If they see a big dollar value.
But there's some companies we are sort of like we're working behind the scenes right now, and they agree with us, and we're hoping that everything takes off. Like my daughter, I'm going to be honest, like she does a lot of that. I'm more of the guy that's boom in your face.
You're the one hanging from trees from a langer.
I did get better. I started doing it out of my garage.
No, and but more, it's good. And more you safe, know what? It has to be done, right?
At the end of the day, I built this thing out of my garage.
And
right?
You're and like me where it's like, you're not going to ask somebody else to do it. So then I might as well go do it. And well, I'll exactly. let you know what happens before I pass out, right?
Pretty much. pretty much, right? I've been a carpenter for a long time. And I'm like,
how many years now?
Oh my God, over 30. I'm 50, 52. I'm going to be 52 this month.
Oh, you're my age, man.
Yeah, holy and I've started when I was 13.
Looking for a roof that lasts and a team you can trust? Call Homestar Roofing, your local family-run roofing experts. From shingles to cedar, slate to metal, flat roofs to skylights, they do it all. Residential or commercial, big or small, need roof repairs, consulting, soffit, fascia, gutters, or eavesdrops? They've got you covered, literally. With affordable pricing and a reputation for quality, Homestar Roofing is building roofs and building trust, one project at a time. Visit them on social at Homestar_roofing or visit them online, www.homestarroofing.ca, or even call them at 647-380-0625 for your free quote today. That's Homestarroofing.ca, where your roof is their reputation. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Like, be honest, like the days
construction
were
different.
They,
huh?
they were, oh, my, I'm telling you right
now. How bad
now,
was the safety back then?
You know what? Safety, I'm going to be honest.
Has it been okay?
To me, it was okay. Like I worked with some pretty decent people.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. My dad like had a hammer in my hand when I was 8 years old, man. Like I remember building the barn in the back. We're in the middle of the city. I'm building this. You're gonna he taught me how to straighten nails where were you oh yeah man like I mean I'm old school like you know what I mean and it's not on the
how many times like, you hit the thumb oh, man lots
oh yeah and I found though when I started getting on job sites at 13 it was different. Not saying safety was always there. I think people were just and I'm not trying to bash the young adults here and that but they were more aware.
So, I'd say so
when you're like doing something, like you're more aware of what's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you're
now it's like everybody's. Oh, I gotta work.
It's
like
too distracting.
It's
now.
Way like it's so much distraction out there now, and it's oh well this and that, and it's like they don't want to listen. Some
it must
the
go
guys.
On the job
it's just
site.
One
like
of those
if you're
things.
On the deck, right? I can only assume that guys are on their devices.
They are.
Walking
I'm not
around.
Gonna, I'm not
in
gonna
like
lie.
Those little micro. It's no different than someone driving a vehicle. And you stop at an intersection, you check your device.
Exactly.
But it's distracting you from the purpose of driving that vehicle. And if you're on a job site on the deck with a bunch of deckhands that are there,
yeah.
and then all of a sudden you're waiting for something to happen, you take that opportunity to check your device.
Yeah, I'm going
to
see.
But that
if
distracts you.
100%,
man.
Because all it takes is a minute, a second,
a
two
second.
Seconds. Like when I did the harness for like the one, the rescue jacket, I used to work on the canals, the locks, right? Build scaffold for those guys. Like bridges. Right now we do events.
The
like,
Welland Canal?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've been everywhere, bro. Like wow. everywhere. I did Burlington Skyway when it was that big crash with the truck that came.
Yeah.
That was our crew. Yeah, great. I loved being up there then.
that's scary.
Yeah, well, 100%, right? But like I've been everywhere. But like I'm going to be honest, back then it was a little better. But now when you watch it now, more like back then guys were more aware too. Right, we just did, man. Like, but now that the devices are in your face, I you know you're on sites and stuff, and you see these guys, they have them with them. Like my son joined the trades, and I'm gonna be honest, he's great, man. Everybody loves my son, right? Like, straight up, I said, listen, that thing stays in the car.
Yeah.
At break time when we come to the car or whatever, no problem. I don't
then
care.
Go and check it.
At lunchtime,
go and check it.
And sure enough, he would keep it in the car. You see these other guys, and he'd just be working away,
it's
and they're like, oh.
It's too risky, man.
It is, especially like where, you know, it doesn't even matter. I work at heights all the time, but even on the ground, whatever. You can have a loader backing up, and you're like this, and all of a sudden, you don't know. right?
You know what it is? Is your awareness on a job site almost gets muffled.
It does.
Because you're hearing all the sounds. Like, it could be backing up machinery. It could be just the sound of chains, like a crane.
Anything.
All that stuff. The thing is, you get so desensitized to those sounds exactly. that you forget that where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And then something could happen and hit you, knock you over, and then you're falling into something, which is dangerous.
And that's all it takes, right? Like, I'm a foreman on sites, like, right? And I, like, off and on, lead hand type. It depends on what sites I go. And I wouldn't say I'm brutal. I'm more like in your face and say, yeah, I don't want you on that. Like, I tell the guy, I literally
just tell them straight up.
I tell, oh yeah, I don't care. Like,
what's their reaction? Like a deer in a headlight? What are you talking about? You're taking my lifeline away from me?
Some guys do. I'm not going to lie. Like, I have one guy, we were doing a bridge. We were doing Queenston-Lewiston Bridge.
Whoa, okay.
And so we were building that. And he was just a gear pusher. I don't care if you're a gear pusher. I don't care if you're, you know, the guy in the front lead or the middle guy, whatever. It doesn't matter. Everybody has, it's a team.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, everybody has each other's backs.
Exactly, right? So I would catch this guy, and I sneak around. I'm not going to lie, right? Because it's my job, right?
You're a foreman, man. You're on site.
You're there to you're see. You're
supposed
hey,
to be paying attention well, yeah, to the like, crew.
I'm a working foreman, but, you know, when I'm, okay, yeah. I'll be right back, get the guy moving, and I'm going to check this crew, whatever, right? Because I had a few different crews going on and stuff, and my boss is always on me, like, get this done. You're in the lead over here, da 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 da. And I noticed the gear's not moving. Like, now we're waiting for stuff, right? So I sneak behind a column, and I see this guy. I'm like, the gear's sitting there. So I just come up to him. I go, dude.
Are we going to work today?
What's going on? Hmm. Oh, well, I'm planning a wedding. I don't give a shit if you're planning a wedding or what. Like,
planning
no,
a wedding?
No, yeah, that was his excuse. And I'm like, no offense. And, oh, I used to be a super. You're not a supervisor here. Like,
you know, you should have said, go get your planning a wedding hard hat.
Yeah.
Put it on and then go plan the wedding off the site. That's what you should have said.
You know what I mean? So I just said, no, like, put the phone away. Like, you're going
to
push
gear. We got other tasks to do.
Yeah. You plan your wedding. I break and lunch.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, you know what I mean? I'm being realistic
about the situation.
Exactly. I could see if it's an emergency or whatever. Yeah. That's different, right? You know, if something happened. Oh my God. My wife just.
The site office would contact you, right?
And then that's the thing. We give everybody has the site office number when we go to work. You know, usually like it's
when you
everybody gets
in,
my number,
or a number to call,
whatever. Yeah. Give that to your wife. Give that to your loved ones.
In an emergency,
exactly.
They'll
right?
get you. I get it.
And that's the way I look at it. Right? Don't worry. Like, I carry a phone too. Well, because I get calls from, but I usually make sure I'm like, okay, I'll be back. You know what I mean? Because now I got to take a call. My boss is calling me. I want to change this, change that. But I you can ask the guys. I'll ignore the thing half the time. And then I get in shit. Well, I was trying to call you. I'm hanging by my nuts, brother. I'm not going to pull up my phone.
You know, the guys, they have to realize that as important they make their devices are when it comes to just everyday stuff, like someone texts them or someone sends them a link or something like that,
whatever.
They have to look at it right away. Then you should just get rid of that. And the safety and the job and the site, that has to be taken care of right away.
Exactly. Exactly. Simple, and it should be there, man. Like,
simple.
Yeah. I remember
the distraction will kill you, man.
It will, man.
Or somebody that's next to you.
Boy, that's
you really
it.
Want that on your shoulders?
And you got to remember, when you're working on a crew, that guy next to you is your brother's keeper. That's what they always say. You know what I mean? Like, you're watching over each other, right? Like, back in the day, like I said, I was 13, man. Everybody, like, I started off in finished carpentry, right? And guys, we'd work together in a room. And then, okay, now you're good. You're going to go to this room and that room. But we'd always be a hall across from each other.
Of course.
Because you're close to each other. Like, we would do big buildings, right? And then we got into the residential, right? And then I started framing, you know what I mean? Like, so I went through all the ranks, right? Like, the boss I had was really good. Like, his brother was a carpenter also. So there's four brothers. Two were cooks, two were carpenters, right?
Two were cooks and two were carpenters?
Italians, yeah.
Did the cooks ever come to the job site and cook for the carpenters?
I wish they did.
Well, I already know that the carpenters already went to the cook's house to do some carpentry.
Yeah. You know what? We did.
I'm pretty sure.
Yes,
that's
we
what
did.
I mean. Did the food come to the wood and did the wood come to the food, right?
Yeah, no, the wood came to the food, that's for sure. I remember going to one of the cook's houses and we did a spiral staircase for him, right in the middle of his house.
Lunch was good.
Lunch was amazing. We're Italian. Like,
I know.
You know, Portuguese, Italian, European, like food. That's good food, man.
A little bit of vino. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Right. But back then, like I said, we were more aware.
Yeah.
Right. Like more aware was, cause I didn't have a phone to my hip. Like, you know what I mean? You did jobs where you're framing. You didn't, I don't know. You're like, and then back then when I was framing, it wasn't like I'm framing with a hammer.
Hammer and nail.
Yeah. I started back in the '80s, man. Like, you know what I mean?
When tradesmen had forearms the size of their legs, right?
Oh, like you see some of these guys and
one size like, bigger than, talk about like, the farmer's tent and everything, right?
Oh, yeah, it's man, just one huge, arm. Right? And then I remember the women back then, like, holy man, like.
They held their own.
100%, yeah, man. Like, they I were, know. That's why, like, you know, some of these, oh, well, women got, they've always been in trades.
Yeah.
As long as I can remember. And yeah. it was just like, it was the women that wanted to be there. And they, man, the one building in St. Catharines we worked, I believe it was called the Prince or the Princess. It was a condo.
Okay.
Type building. And I'm telling you, we didn't have an elevator yet, and there's these two women that did drywall, right? And they would literally grab a sheet of drywall and carry it up like six flights.
Flights, really?
Yeah. Like back then we had
Why are they not booming it up there?
Well, because back then it was like, oh, I just need a couple, like they boom.
Just get it on site.
Yeah, so many stacks up there. You know what I mean? You're short, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, like same with us, like we boom whatever and oh, we're short.
My shoulder's already hurting just hearing that, man.
I couldn't believe it. I know. But these are women. They're just like, oh, I need one more sheet. Gotta get it up there. I'm not gonna wait for a boom truck for one sheet. So they carry it on. Like, holy crap, man. And same thing would happen to me. Like, oh, we're short, like, you know, a couple stacks of, you know, whatever, right? Trim or this or that, right? You know, and oh, okay. Throw it on my shoulder, 13-year-old kid. Okay, I carry it out there, right? Kid? So my
just got in?
Yeah, I got three kids. So my youngest, he's the one who just got in. He's 21, right?
And what's his perception of construction?
Do you know what?
You kind of gave him an idea of what it's like.
Yeah, because like when he was small, like when I did residential stuff and I would bring him on sites, you know what I mean? And you know, like if I did a friend's house or reframed something or some trim here, I would bring him here and there. So he had a gauge of, you know, I'm in mechanics and everything. So he's always watched me in the trade somehow. Right, you know what I mean, and so he was like, "Yeah, I think you know that's cool." So at first,
I want to learn this.
Yeah, when he got out in high school, and then he started sort of changing his tune, and maybe I'll go to business, right?
That's a good move too.
100%. And yeah. I said, and I always said, you do what you want. I always put all my kids, you do what you want to do, right? Like my oldest, she's going to be a lawyer. My middle child, right? Like she's 23 now. She's a vet tech. Right, like she works in that field. She's in the front, goes to the back. She works with vets. Mm-hmm. And then my son, he did 1 year of Niagara College of Business. And I think what threw him off was he did it during COVID, so he's on a computer. And you know what?
It's not a good way to learn.
No, and I love my son, man. Like he was honest because a lot of kids will suck you dry. He was straight up, like, you know, I'm paying for this course for him. And then I'm like, oh, you got great marks. He's like, whatever, and got 90s. He's straight up. He goes, Dad, I don't know shit.
He didn't absorb anything.
I go, he goes, no, because I'm not talking to a teacher. I'm sitting there. He goes, if I got a problem, I just look at the other screen. Oh, yeah, there's my answer. Plug it in. I didn't really learn anything. What do you learn at home? He goes, and then that's when I said, well, what are you going to do? So I got him a job at Clifton Hill and with a friend, like through a friend of mine, and he was just selling tickets for a bit, you know, making money or whatever. And then he started moving like just junk type thing or whatever, like guys busy be junk, right? Mm-hmm. Started working with him, another friend of mine. I hooked him up, right? He started working together, and then I said, "Okay, no offense, kid, but these are go nowhere jobs. Like they're, you know, you're out of high school now. You did 1 year of college. Like these are high school jobs to me, right? This is not a job. It's not a career, right? Because how far are you gonna go?" Really? So I said, what do you want to do? He goes, I don't know. He goes, maybe get back into the trades like you. I said, all right, no problem. So I got him in the carpentry, right? And he came out, worked with me. I got him. I said, you're going to come work with me, kid. This is what you're going to need. Got him all his tools, got a pair of boots, came, did scaffolding with me, caught on real quick.
Didn't complain?
Never. You know what? I'm going to be honest. Never. He loves it.
It's not the most glamorous part.
It's not. Yeah. To be honest, a lot of guys will come in and then, couple years, I'm out of it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. It's hard labor. He actually loved it. Like right now, to be honest, like he's jumped. He's putting cabinets in because he's you know part of the union, right? And
so he's getting his hands everywhere.
And that's what I told him, jump around.
That's important.
That way you got a little bit of cabinet. You know, you're on one side of the spectrum next. Maybe get into whatever, like framing, form, or whatever. Jump around, and then you know what? Then you see, like I jumped around everywhere, right? Then you'll see, you know what, I really fit in here, right? And then you go to that position, right? By the time you're done, then you stay there, whatever you want to do. Or you can jump back out, but you have knowledge, vast knowledge. That's the whole thing, right?
And plus the people that you meet, you don't know where it's going to go.
Exactly. Like he's, he's funny, man. Like I said, I've been in the trades for over 30 years. And so he's jumping around site to site and he goes, Dad, like he thinks I'm going to go on a new site, you know, don't know anybody. And all of a sudden they hear his last name. Oh, is that, are you Pete's kid? He's like, do you know everybody? He goes, I said, dude, you got to remember, I've been around for like over 30 years.
So 30 it's not years like, to make a lot of friends. I get it.
You know, you jump around. So it's not like, you know, like I've done it all. Like I've, you know,
you should get
all
a t-shirt made for him. It just says, yeah, I'm Pete's kid.
I know, right? So he's like, oh my God. I said, well, hey man. And then and it's pretty funny because then they'll be like, yeah, I can see your Pete's kid. You got that like work ethic, and then they love them, right? Like the companies with now, they're like, they really love them. They want to keep them. And all. I said, that's good. That's what you want. You want to stay. You want to.
How many years has he been doing it now?
He's I bet you he's approaching about a year now, right? Year. Yeah. And he loves it.
What's his thought about it now?
He really loves it. He really likes it. He wants to get his ticket. He wants to be a carpenter. He wants to go all the way. Right. So that's, you know, and that's the thing, right? Cause you see some guys, they start hemming and hawing and I don't know. But he's right into it. He loves it. He loves the pay. He loves the, you know what I mean? The atmosphere. He likes the guys he works with. Right.
Attention aspiring tradespeople and entrepreneurs. Looking to break into the skilled trades or start your own home service business? Meet TradeLinks Consulting, your go-to partner for success. At TradeLinks Consulting, they're passionate about helping you find the right trade, build your business, and mentor the next generation. Whether you're exploring your options or ready to take the plunge, they offer tailored career consulting and startup guidance to get you on the right track. Visit them at www.tradelinkconsulting.ca today and book your personalized strategy session. Your future in the skilled trade starts here. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. What's the majority of the ages? Like he's in his early 20s.
Yeah, he's in his early 20s.
But what's the majority of people that are on the job site? What's the
median? I'm going to be honest. It varies. Like, you got a lot of 30-year-olds now.
Okay.
Right? And I notice, like, and you got some young guys. And a lot of guys like my age, like 50s and stuff, but we're getting out, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to retire soon. Because at the end of the day, like what I do, like both my shoulders are shot now. My knee's shot. Like I'm going back to work in June, right? Because I have to fix myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Like, but I see a lot of the age I've been working with is a lot of 30-year-olds.
Early 30s, mid-30s?
Early 30s, mid-30s. I find that if the young guys that get in, like my son, he's like this, he really wants to stick it out. Find some of the young guys that get in their early 20s, they want to get out fast, right? But then you got guys that are getting out in later, you know, like
staying longer.
Yeah, 26, okay. They're like, because now they're like, oh, I gotta be a man or I gotta be a woman. I gotta figure out what I'm gonna do with my life. Like, you know, I can't just live at mom and dad's, right?
Well, that's what I want to ask you. Is the ones that are 30 or mid-30s, are they gonna be there at 50?
I'm hoping. I see some of them. I don't know, man. Some want to get out, but I see a lot of like the guys I work with. I don't know if it's just the way I handle guys or like our company handles guys. They want to stay. Right. Mm-hmm. They like the work ethic, like, you know, they like the guys. I think it's all about morale also.
Yeah.
Right. So I try to keep, I'm a fair guy. Right. My one buddy says, you just want to be friends with everyone. It's no, I look at it like this. I'm your buddy right now because I want to teach you. But once you start being, don't want to listen, well, your buddy goes away.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's business. Yeah. I'm here. Yeah. Let's be cool. Let's, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, if I got a good morale, like, and I look at it like this. I've had guys like, okay, I'll give you a longer break for another 5 minutes or whatever, right? But we're busting our ass. Like, I mean, we're working hard, right? And then I look at it, and then my boss, get your guys to stay an extra 15, 20 minutes. When I ask, I never hear no.
They'll do it.
They'll do it because it's a give and take, yeah, right? Because I you know, they're looking at, well, hey, man, let me stay an extra 5 minutes this last couple of days. Now, yeah, let's finish
Everybody
this up.
Everybody always needs you a little to. Bit of here and there,
well, that's
man.
It, man. That's how it works. Exactly. You got to give and take, right?
So if you just go in there with blinders on and just be a dick and you don't care.
You're not
going to get far with the team.
No, because the team resents you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why would you want that?
Of course.
Like, really, at the end of the day, why do you want the team to say, hey, there's Pete. right on, what are we going to do today? Not like, oh, fuck. There's
I don't know how many tradespeople are looking for wedding planners on the sites, right?
So sorry. Like, yeah, I know, right? Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's not really a high value interest, right?
Like, I'm going to tell you, I got rid of that guy pretty quick. Like, it was pretty funny. He's probably
planning more weddings right now.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. But I was just like, I don't know. What the heck, man? Like, really? Like, it.
But that's where your priorities are.
Like,
it's not. I'm joking with this. Yeah, I know. They shouldn't be. No, it's a dangerous environment.
The end of the day, when I look at it, like, at the end of the, I get it. My priorities are my family. My crew, right.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, if I'm working right there, first priority is the crew, right?
Their family, their people. Their, yeah.
Right. Because at the end of the day, we all want to go home.
Yeah.
Right. Alive. Like, that's why I made the jacket. Right. Like, we all want to go home safe. We all want to go home alive. We all want to do a good job. And we don't want to kill ourselves anymore. Because I'm going to be honest, the difference, like, you know, back then you would kill yourself. Like, my old mentality.
You'd break yourself, yeah, I know.
Oh, man, I carry six ledgers at a time. Now it's like, you know, I'll pick up two. Like, I'll do a little more trips, right? Like,
it's a perishable career, man.
Well, because what happened? You're literally breaking your body. Yeah. Then, right? Like, that's what's happened careful. To me.
And
now.
There's smart and ways to do certain things.
Well, that's the thing, right? Work smart, not hard, right? You know what I mean? So let's protect ourselves better. Let's work better. Let's work more as a unit. You know what I mean? If I can get, now instead of me carrying something across, if I can chain it across, I got four guys. Well, if I chain it, well, now we're all, you're going to get all that same material there, right, at the same time or faster. Then each guy is going to walk back and forth and huff this, you know what I mean? So it's all in the way you work, right? Like, you know, like you were saying earlier, like, boom the thing. If you, okay, I got to get up there, boom it up. Now it's there. You don't have to, like, try and carry it up or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? And you have to look at the situations, too, because there's somewhere, like in the canal, for instance, like, we would do these massive stair towers, right? So from the bottom of the lock to the top. And
how are you going with them?
And so what happens is we boom everything down.
Okay.
Because you got to start from the bottom. Yeah. Right? Like, we've built stuff up top before and then crane it down. It all depends on a company you're working for or whatnot, right? So when we start from the bottom, then you have to chain everything up, right? But then you put a guy on every second lift, lift, wherever you can reach, and you just you work as a crew, right? And there's other situations now where you can say, I can boom everything up to here. Now we work. Now I can boom up to the next lift. Now we work. Yep. So now you're not chaining, right? Yep. So it all depends on the situations, right? Like, same thing when I did residential, right? Like, you got to get the gear, you know, all your wood and all your lumber.
You got to be efficient, but that's experience teaches you that.
Well, that's
but it. You also want to hear the crew talk to you about, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we try that?
Yeah, man.
If it's going to be more efficient, let's do it.
And I listen to everybody. Like, everybody, oh, he's a first year, or oh, he's a third year. No,
that's dismissive. You don't, like,
no, man, if that guy's got a good idea,
then take it.
Let's try it. Hey, we could try it. And I go, yeah, I know it's not really working.
There's always going to be somebody who's going to come in with a fresh pair of eyes, man.
Well, that's it, right? So just listen. That's what I say. Like, you know, wherever I am, like I said, sometimes I'm lead hand, a foreman, or just a worker, whatever. Wherever they bounce me to, I try to listen.
Yeah.
And let's, what's more efficient? What's better?
But that's what drives me crazy about your product there, because it's just, listen, put this on. The thing is, the hope is, we don't want you to ever need this.
Exactly.
But when you do need something like this, you have something that will take care of you when you need it, right? It's like driving a car in airbags. We all know they're there. The seatbelts, it's always there.
Yeah.
You never really think about it until you actually need it. And then once you need it, it deploys, it does what it's supposed to do, and then it takes care of you, man.
Exactly. And that's the whole purpose behind it.
I think most trades try to find ways of just getting around, especially in the winter months when you got to put a jacket on and a harness on, trying to figure out how to put the two together. A trade will always try to figure out the easiest way to put it on incorrectly.
No, you're right.
You know, like, you could show them how to do it, and they'll go, well, I've got an incorrect way to do it better.
Yeah, no.
But it's not correct.
About? Exactly. I've seen guys, it's funny, like, I take pictures here and there where I'm going to get in trouble one day. But I see guys, like this winter, I drove by these sign guys. They're in a lift, right?
A mobile lift. Okay.
And they got harnesses on, so that's good. They're tied off.
They're in the bucket, yeah?
They throw the jackets right over top of the harness. But now the harness is coming down here. What do you think is going to happen? They're zipped up. They're going to ass over tea kettle, man.
I know.
Come on. Right? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just makes sense. Like, that's why, like, I'm like, and I stopped. I say, hey, man, you guys should check out Jeb's gear. Like, you know, like, I got a major sale going to happen pretty soon, right? That's, you know, that way you're going to have same concept, but now the D-ring is going to come out the proper way. And if something did happen, you fall out of that bucket, well, you're not going to go ass over tea kettle, like, you know what I mean? Or the other thing I see is, oh, they just put it, it comes out here, and oh, you got the D-ring here. What it's do you think is going to happen?
It's too high.
Too high, and then it's going to smack you in the back of the head.
Yeah.
But no, we don't want to think about that, right? Like, come on.
I mean, I guess
common sense,
the
man.
The good thing about that you is know? That you won't really notice the pain coming from your legs yeah, because the pain will be like, in your neck, right? And yeah. You're going to be choking yourself, strangling, right?
It's like, come on, man. Like, and that's why, like, you know, I don't know. I don't get it. Like, that's why I keep pushing up and, you know, like, I'm not giving up. You know, like
don't
I said,
give
I
up.
Just, oh, no, man. I just keep pushing this product out there. I just
a good idea to the to you know, government or to unions or to anybody. And they don't really want to take the idea and go with it.
Yeah, I've called like big companies, like, you know, and the safety guys. Well, I'm like, that's a good idea. Okay, let's talk. Well, let's get it in this yeah, company, right? Let's, yeah. Like, you're the safety guy. You're the guy, right? Like, you're the guy who should be saying, you know what, we should be buying these, right? Instead of, well, no, we're going to not.
Like, did you ever make a kids version? Just for marketing purposes, not for reality, but
yeah.
If you made a minier version of it.
I have like small jackets. What I had in mind, and I don't know, I may do it yet, is contacting schools. I have like a small, and it fits kids, right? Like it's small, so it's, you know, right now it's offshore, right? Just to say, hey, you know what? Like, because, you know, like there's people that go in and talk or whatever, you know, about the trades and stuff to grade schools and high schools and stuff.
I think those talks should start with safety.
100% they should. With
PPE.
They should be saying, hey,
that's
this
is the beginning
is,
of everything.
They when you get out in a trade, it should be like this.
Let's talk about hard hats. Let's talk about safety boots. Let's talk about harnesses. Let's talk about workwear and jackets and warm.
Well, that's
it. Listen, this is Canada. We're going to be working, and especially the higher you go, the colder it gets.
Yeah, it could be, you know.
It could be sunny down on the ground, but.
I was just going to say that. Like, I've worked on bridges in the middle of summer, and we're wearing.
The wind.
The wind, we're wearing thick sweaters because we're like, and then you go down there, you're like, oh my God.
I know,
Dying. Or hey, like, you know, I mean, that's the thing. And the thing is, guys don't understand is like, if you had your harness, especially now, like before when I started working, if it rained, we went home, right?
That's the majority of things.
But now, guys push. Like, the companies are pushing more. You're working out in the weather, more of that type of element. You know, and technically, if you read the same thing, you read that little pamphlet, not supposed to get the harness wet, not supposed to get any oil or stuff on the harness.
You got to read the manufacturers.
Not supposed to burn it, like when you're doing welding. Yeah. You know how much, I see it all the time. Like you see harnesses and they got.
The sparks.
Like my, you know, FR would protect all that. You know, you put like a soft shell that's, you know, got the water, you know, it's not waterproof, but sheds the water off you.
It beads
off you, right? Protects your harness. You know what I mean? Like wintertime, you know, all the slush and everything, you got a jacket over, protects the harness. Like
the salt?
Oh, yeah, salt.
Does it?
Yeah, like I've got a harness with the salt and stuff. Like you see it starts turning white, right? Like because you're working out there. Like especially when I was working on bridges, cars are like you're right next to where the cars are coming by. You don't think you get no debris from that?
You're getting it.
You're getting some of it, right? You know what I mean? Like we've had, like especially the Burlington Skyway, we were so close to that traffic. Right, so we built the way that was like we built. You came up and we worked over top of all the traffic. We built a massive platform, right, with those 2-foot beams. They're like 66 feet long, and then we would base out on top of that, like you know, put a massive platform up there, and build off that luma beams all the way across them to make, you know, like 1-foot centers to make everything strong. Yeah. Right, so it's. Is it? But when you're down and you're building that, you're still with the traffic. Yeah, we were about to lane back because you keep the lane away from you. But you're still, car splashes you. You're getting that.
Of course. Kind of,
you're getting everything. Like, you know what I mean?
You're in the extreme weathers, right? That's the thing about it.
Exactly, right? That's why, it's like, protect yourself, protect everybody. You know, it, like I said, it just makes sense.
Is it just like, I get the sense that safety conversations only happen when something bad happens.
A lot.
Why can't we be more proactive, no?
Right. Well, they're proactive is a lot of companies out there is like, okay, we're going to have safety talk before you go on site or whatever to tell you all this shit, whatever. You go through their safety courses and stuff. And then all of a sudden sign this, sign that. Okay. Now you're good.
But did you really
absorb
it?
Exactly. So that's why to me, it's like, that's fine because now, yes, now me as a company, I'm off. Hey, you know what's going on, right?
Yeah, but that's more
but
of
you
like
still
we're just protecting ourselves legally. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
We educated them. We went through it. They signed off on it.
Yeah.
But then the accident happened.
But that's
well,
it,
then maybe they didn't really learn anything. And they were just a little bit nervous or fearful that they had to sign just to agree to everything.
Yeah, and that's why I look at it like this, is like as being in a lead position a lot of times is that leader. I don't care, your foreman, supervisor, whatever leader you are. I know you have a safety guy, but you should be safety also. So if I'm 100%. If I'm pushing my guys forward, I'm a foreman. Let's go. Let's get this shit done. I should be watching. I do. Like ever since I fell, like I'm a different guy. Like I do. I'm like, tie off. Why is your harness loose? I'll literally go up behind. If I know it's loose, I'll grab the D-ring. I'll give him a yank. I'm like, why? You know, like.
Why is it so loose?
Why is it so loose? Tighten it up. Constantly telling guys. And then you see the other guys.
Do they out get there. It? Do they understand some, that you know it's what, so to be, loose?
Some guys do. Some guys are like, ah, whatever. And it's like.
Most people just think that they'll never fall.
That's right? What it. That's it, what it
they
is.
They won't be that one person.
I'm going to be honest. I used to be that guy. Like I used, I'm not going to fall. And I fell a few times. Like you know, like that one time with the jet was the worst. I fell through a deck onto another deck, like a lift before. You know what I mean? I fall and caught myself with my legs. Like you know, like I, you know, like at the end of the day, you're like on a I job said,
site, man.
I've been in it for 30 years. You tell me, in 30 years, nothing's going to happen to me. Come on, everybody, something always happens.
You don't want it to happen, don't, but if it does 100%. Happen, you want to be prepared for it.
Exactly, and that's the whole thing, right? You know what I mean? Like, you got to, no matter residential, commercial, whatever, just protect yourself and be together. Like, you know, look out for the person beside you, right? Like, at the end of the day, that's the guy you got to trust.
Yeah.
Like, if you're framing a house, you better trust the guy you're working with. You know what I mean? Like, anything. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Conversations globally?
Not globally. More like I've
stayed in North America. Canada, yeah,
North
US.
America, US. I have sent stuff out globally. Like I sent stuff out to Australia.
They're
jackets.
Pretty safe, no?
Yeah, they're pretty good. I sent out some jackets. The whole crew said, "Yeah, man, these are great." Sent the whole I think it was like 8 jackets or whatever.
Okay.
For their whole crew, and I haven't heard back, but at least you know what I mean. Sent them out there. I'm like,
that was a bunch of framers or something, or
yeah, okay. There were a bunch of framers out there, and they're like, these are awesome. Like, you know, because I was on Instagram. They seen my shit and they contacted me, and I'm like, hey, yeah, you know, if it costs, I'm gonna be honest, I lost money on that deal, but I was like, at the end of the day, I was like, you know what?
If I'd they're rather, using it,
if they're using it. I'd rather you be safe, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like that's the way I looked at it, right? You know what I mean. So. Like, we are going to have, like, all my old stock. We're going to have a major sale. I'll probably lose some money, but I want to get it out there.
You How can people, mean? Could they go on the website to get that?
Yeah, they can go on the website and stuff. Okay. We're in a store called Trillium in St. Catharines on Hartzell Road.
Okay. But you can order online and have it shipped to you?
It's shipped right to you. Yeah. Okay. So, and then we're trying to get in other stores. We're trying to get in
I know,
other
you say areas, old stuff, so. But it's still
Oh, no, it's just the old, it's this stock here.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's
all it
old.
Is.
It's all, it's just my older stock. Because like I said,
but it's still, it's perfectly for the job
perfectly,
site.
Perfectly. Oh, yeah. Fine, everything's right? Perfect for the job site. It's not that it's old. It's just my older stock. It's just, I have to sell to make more, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
I can't make more without selling anything, right? Yeah. So we just want to do a massive blowout so more people get it on their backs. It's, you know, I got black and the yellow high vis right now, you know, so it's still good on a lot of job sites. Like
makes it a little bit more challenging with the summer coming because not a lot of people throw
right now. Yeah, on. Yeah. So we're going to hopefully, you know, we're going to gear up, talk to a lot of companies and stuff right now to hopefully for the winter blow them out pretty, you know, a decent price. We don't have prices marked down yet, but
I like the idea of the
a
hoodie,
decent price.
The hoodie version. Right?
The hoodie version. Yeah.
Like I'm guys actually, right now on the job sites are still throwing on their hoodie. If anything, double layer hoodie right now.
Exactly. So if I can make the soft shell that's water repellent and blocks that wind, that's what that's the goal right now. We're looking at a couple companies to make them and we want to push those out hard because then right now they would buy them. You know what I mean? So that way they're protected. They protect that harness. You know, and like I said, I'm even looking at making soft shell hoodies that are FR for the guys that are welding and stuff too, right? Well, why not?
That makes sense as well.
You're an iron worker. You're out there. You know what I mean? Why wouldn't you, right? Why would you want to? Because I ask this all the time. So there's companies like Esso and DeFasco and all them, right?
Yeah.
So when you go into those companies, you have to wear everything that's FR rated.
Okay.
Then I straight out, like I'm not blowing nobody in, but I straight out ask. So I go, because DeFasco, I've worked there, so I know firsthand, right? I go, are your harness FR rated? Well, no.
Nope.
Oh, that's funny. So you got to wear a jacket that's FR rated. You have to wear coveralls that are FR rated. But then you're going up high and they're going to give you a harness, but it's not FR rated. Does that make sense to you?
No.
Right? And these companies are doing it everywhere. And it's like, so to me, I'm like, okay, that's, you don't want to give him an FR rated harness. You should be, you know, buying a jacket for me.
Of course.
That's FR rated. Cover it. Well, now at least you're protecting that harness.
Of course.
Because let's be honest, all of a sudden I'm welding away or something and you're getting sparks all over it, right? You're fraying it, whatever. Now, if you fall, that's a potential of that harness going,
yeah,
and then you're,
failure.
You're yeah. gone. There's a failure.
Exactly, there. Right?
That's just, that's my opinion, right?
Consider expert plumbing and drains. When it comes to plumbing, you need someone who's not just skilled, but truly cares about the job they do. Someone like Aaron Bolin and his team at Expert Plumbing and Drains. Aaron has been in the trade for years, and he's built his reputation on one thing, commitment. Commitment to his craft, his crew, and most importantly to you, the client. At Expert Plumbing and Drains, it's not just fixing pipes, it's about delivering the best possible service every single time on every single project. So whether you're dealing with a leaky faucet, a stubborn drain, or planning a full plumbing overhaul, Aaron and his team are ready to tackle it all with skill, integrity, and a passion for excellence. Need help now? Call Expert Plumbing and Drains at 905-531-4111. That's 905-531-4111. Or visit them at www.expertplumbinganddrains.com and on social media at Expert Plumbing and Drains Canada. Experience the difference of working with a team that's dedicated to getting the job done right. Because at Expert Plumbing and Drains, your satisfaction is their top priority. You can also email Aaron directly at aaron@expertplumbinganddrains.com. Expert Plumbing and Drains, where expertise meets care. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
You know what I mean? That's the way I look at stuff. Like,
but they don't look at it that way.
No, I don't get it. I'm like, these are top guys, right? You know what I mean? Like, you guys should be like, the one time we went to, I'm not going to say where, but we went to one company and we came, we're an outside company, right? So we were subbed in. So we had to build this massive stair tower because they were doing a roof, right? And then right. we had to put like, you know, some handrail up and stuff for them and stuff like that. So that's cool. I get in there and then I had an argument with their safety guy, right? Because they come up and we're starting, well, we're building away. We just wear regular safety glasses, hard hat, you know, fully like, you know, it's summertime, we're in our harnesses, everything, we're good. He comes and goes, you got to wear smoggles.
You're going to wear what, sorry?
Smoggles. You ever hear of smoggles?
Oh, I remember you telling me about this.
They
yeah.
Got, yeah, so they got underneath, like, yeah. so, but what happens with smoggles is they sweat, right?
Yeah.
You can't see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it gives me these smoggles for all my guys. Okay, so I give them to the guys because I don't want to fight with you, man. Okay, whatever. He walks away. Guys, got to wear this. Like, okay. So we start wearing them. All of a sudden, I'm like taking them off, wiping them,
Like, they're all just frosting up. Yeah,
yeah, you can't see nothing. I'm like, now, like, what is out here? Why do I even, like, I'm out in the middle of nowhere. Like, I'm out, there's a building.
So why did he want you to wear them?
Because what happened was there was an incident in this factory on another side of the factory, right, where it was dust and whatever, got into the guy's eye. So all of a sudden, the safety guy goes, oh, smog goes across the whole board, right, at this factory. Come on.
Maybe it was just a fluke that...
Let's make sense. Over yeah. there, yeah, because they're working with, like, whatever it was, like, chemicals and all this stuff, and the stuff's floating around, whatever. I get it, right? You don't want the shit floating in your eye. But you're outside, man. Like, you gotta make sense here. So then the guy came back, because then after I said, you know, put your... Because now my guys are at risk, because you're on a scaffold, they're
taking them off, putting them on.
No. I said, put your regular safety glasses back on. I told the guy straight up, put your shit back on. Let's go to work. We work. Guy comes back. I gave you those. I'm like, dude, I told him. Oh, no. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. Like, seriously? Right? So this is bad. So what we did is I said, okay, fine. You want to play this game? We're going to play the game. So I got all the guys to cut the bottom of the smoggles, right? Like just the rubber.
Yeah.
Right?
On so the that bottom way, part.
Yeah, so the air can get in there, yeah. so you can, like,
and
so
it doesn't
fog up.
Yeah.
Right? So now when the guy sees me from, like, 20 feet away, it looks like I got smoggles on, right? But I'm like, do I really have to play this game? Like, I shouldn't. But then I'm like, got the guy off my back. We finished the job. Everything's cool because he thought, but I'm like, really?
All you needed was the inspector to walk around with smoggles himself.
Well, that's the thing. When he.
It'll start to fog up.
Here's the catch. He has smoggles. He's got them down here because he's walking around and then puts them on when he shows up to. Where I'm working.
So why don't you
walk around all day with those on, right?
That's what I mean. Walk around, then experience that they're actually going to fog up.
Come on.
Then you'll be the same.
Right?
We kind of did that during COVID years when we had inspectors come by, and my job sites, we didn't have masks. I didn't force anybody to do it. Mm-hmm. And then when the inspector showed up, they were wearing masks. But I remember whenever he showed up, he's like, can I take this off? I was like, dude, you can do whatever you want, man.
Like, right.
You, if you want to stay 6 feet or bullshit around, I don't care, man. Yeah. But on my job site, I wasn't going to force anybody. So because we knew that they were getting in people's ways, doing the work. That's yeah. all it was. Well, they were getting it, in right? the way.
Well, that's your now with the mask. I remember during COVID with the mask, it's fogging up your glasses.
Yeah, that's
it's
why.
Because it's coming through here.
Then you get some people talking about, you're like, you're not positioning the mask correctly. And I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling very confident on this site. I'm totally fine. I don't care. Right?
Leave me
alone, right?
And then, you know what the COVID, like with these stupid masks, you know what the funny thing was? We were on some job sites. And because they recognized, okay, you're fogging up your glasses. Then they'd be like, oh, you can wear your mask here. What the hell is the sense of it? Are you serious right now? So I could put my mask, so it's here, so my nose, why am I even wearing
these humans it? Don't breathe through their nose.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, come on. These are safety guys. Well, because we know, we recognize it fogs up the glasses.
Man, and whenever they find the hill, they'll just die on it. That's like, all it is, man.
Whatever, man. You know what I mean?
But I was really, like, I mean, I could have had dickhead inspectors, but he was very cool, down to earth. Cool, yeah. And I was like, he just took it off. He's like, I can't breathe. And I was like, dude, I'm not asking you to keep it on, man.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's
it's up
it,
to
right?
you. You're on my job site here. I need to get work. We got to walk around. You got to inspect things. We got to be moving around.
You got to get stuff done.
It's summertime or whatever. And yeah. Oh, so like, dying it's up with to you, thing. Man. I don't yeah. care.
No, I totally, I'm with you, man. Like it's some of the stuff. It's just like, I don't know. I always say like.
You got to look at the bigger picture with yes, the trades, right?
Yes.
I know there's always that argument about when you do a roof. Where are you supposed to tie off? Like you haven't built the point where you're supposed to tie off yet. So you can't tie off anything there. But it should be a discussion with any inspectors.
There's
that are
always
there,
a way, man.
Right? Like let's discuss right now, what the best way to way. Do it, right?
Oh, yeah. Like
I know what the book says to do. But okay. How about we talk about what's the best way for this
exactly.
particular job
yeah,
site?
Exactly.
Every job site's slightly different, man.
100%. There's always a way to tie off. You got to get on that roof. There's always a way to tie off.
There's always a risk of the first guy and the last guy.
Yeah, like...
Or there's that moment, right?
Yeah, like, but there's always something. Like, you can literally, like, okay, man, we're going to throw the rope over to the other side of the... You know what I mean? Say you're framing something.
But you got
to
get up there to do that.
Yes.
And you can't tie off anything.
Well, that's the thing, right? So there's that gray area. Like, yeah, I know. Like you said, you can't look at that book 100%. And sometimes you have to have that guy as, I'm going to be the one going up there. That's going to be cautious, and I'm going to make sure everybody else is going to be tied off.
Do you know?
Or you get a lift in, or you know what I mean? There's always ways.
There's always ways, but then you still got to be tied off to the lift.
Exactly, right? So right? You always got to figure out what you got to do to make everybody else safer. Right?
Do you know the history of the harness? Like when was the harness first introduced?
You know what? I don't know the actual history.
I'm just curious about it.
I know that the harness, where it came from, was from skydivers. From what
really?
I heard, don't quote me on this.
Okay, I'm gonna from look into that. I'm
from
curious.
From what I heard is, you know how skydiving harnesses, right? Like, you know, with the parachutes.
Well, they're taking their body weight.
Yeah. So
and
what
they're
happened?
Hanging there.
Yeah. So what happened back in the '60s and stuff like that, guys? The first, like you can say, harness was just the belt. Had a D-ring off the side, just and they call them back breakers, right?
Yeah, because that's exactly
literally
what it would do.
You fall, you break your back, right? So that was the first type of safety that was out there for fall arrest.
If you think about it, car seatbelts were the same way. It was just the waist one before you got...
Exactly.
Right?
So, but everything evolves, right?
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Just like my jacket, everything evolves. Yeah. Like you start thinking, well, you know, okay, this is great, but let's make it better, right?
Yeah.
So from what I heard is, because I talked to a couple people about it and stuff, and from what I heard was, then what happened was they seen that parachuting, well, you got the leg straps... Basically, it's a harness. That's what you're wearing.
That's what it is.
And that's where it came from, where now they'd recognize, well, it's a full body harness. So now when you fall, you're not going to shatter your hips. You're not going to break your back. So from what I know is that's where the harness actually came from. They started taking that pretty
much that
harness. That's
going as far back as what? Like it would have been the early 1900s or something?
I'm not sure. Yeah, something like that.
Paratroopers? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, something like that. Like, I'm not 100% sure.
It makes sense.
Sure. But yeah,
where else would you have first seen it?
Well, that's it, right? You know what I mean? That's what somebody was telling me. I go, get out of here. No way. It totally makes sense to me. From what I know, I think that's,
it
like I said, sense. Don't quote me. Don't.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I want to look into it and find out. But basically, right? And then it could evolve into construction.
And it evolved into, the safety, right? Because if you look at back in the 50s and stuff, nobody wore nothing. Literally, like, they're building these skyscrapers. They're.
It wasn't until you start seeing the 70s and 80s with the building of skyscrapers, and they did have the harnesses on, and they had one lifeline.
Yeah.
And they would just move along with the D-ring, and that was it.
Exactly, right? Right. And then evolved from there, now two. That way you got a double tie-off. Like, you tie off, and you got to tie off there to unhook. Right, because people recognize. Well,
but it goes back to what you were saying earlier, where they were aware of their surroundings. Because,
oh yeah,
listen, I'm impressed with seeing iron workers, and they walk the beam, and then 100%. You're like, you realize that you're about 100 stories up, and you're building something, and you're walking as if you're walking on the sidewalk.
Well, that's it.
They're aware of their surroundings.
They are now. It's like you don't see. Like,
you know what you also notice, Pete, about that? Nobody who's had mobile devices. Or
nope. Nobody. It was like, I'm included on this job and that's what I'm doing, man. Like, none of this. Oh, hold on. Let me go up here.
Yeah, let me just check.
I want to do a selfie. That's gone, man. Like, it's the truth, right?
They were focused at the task at hand.
Yeah. And I think we should, personally, my opinion, like I said, when I got guys, I give guys shit. You know what I mean? Like, and personally, my opinion is we got to get back to that. Why don't they just
outlaw them?
Huh?
Outlaw them.
I think so. 100%. Even like, you know what, like there are some cases where, like where my son is now, they use their cell phone to communicate. Like if he's down the hall at this, wherever, doing this, and then they'll call each other, whatever. Sure. But at the end of the day, you shouldn't be on it. It should be like, you know what I mean?
Should be radios.
100%.
So then you're just dedicated.
The radios are there.
Conversation, yeah.
And that's it. Okay.
You don't need to use a phone that's got all these other apps and social media. Yeah, exactly. Media.
You know what it is? Know why they're making them use their phones? I'm telling you right now. Because the company... Now I got to buy radios. The radios ain't cheap, right?
But like, what's more expensive, the radios and buying the radios, or having your employee force spend time on the phone?
Well, no, yeah, I agree with you, but the company looks like this. Well, why wouldn't I get you to use your phone? You're paying for your phone. I'm not paying for shit. That's the way companies look at it,
I know, but
right?
The time that they use the phone.
I totally agree.
The production dollars there compared to the cost of radios.
Yeah, where a radio, it's like you're not getting on it. Because you know if that guy's going to call, I got to call you. You know, all of a sudden, well, I'm going to go. Oh,
let me get a wedding planning here. Let me get this one.
I just
got to
plan my wedding real quick. Oh, yeah, I was just calling. Yeah. Right? I was just calling Manny. I was just talking to Manny.
That's what I mean.
Oh, he's gone. Okay, yeah. Oh, just yeah, I'm going to get this wedding, nice dress, and give me a break.
Get two paper cups and a string, man. I don't know. Like,
no, I agree with you. The radio is the way to go.
Stay focused with the task at hand.
100%, man.
That's what I'm saying, right?
100%, because then you're more aware of what's going on. Your task gets done better, right? You know what I mean? At the end of the day.
It's done more efficiently.
More efficiently, right?
Because you're zoned into it.
You're concentrating on what you're doing. You're not just willy-nilly like, oh, I was doing this. Oh, shit. Let's be, you know what? I say this all the time. Let's look at it this way. Right now, a person, and I'm self-included, okay? Back when I was like, you know, young, in the 80s and stuff. Right? I'm serious.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's not that long ago, man.
Okay, I know. I know. But back in the 80s, I remembered everybody's phone number.
I can't tell you anybody's phone number.
Your phone number?
I know.
I would know. I'd be like, getting on that. Doot, 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 doot,
I know.
Tring, you know what I mean?
I know.
Now, guess what? I can't remember shit. I got my wife. I don't even know my wife's number. I got to literally go on. Oh, yeah, my wife. Okay.
I know.
We got goldfish brain. Numbers, that's what I call it, man. Goldfish brain. Man. We can't remember shit no more. We literally are. They say, I see guys on you. Oh, yeah, but the phone, you got everything at the palm of your hand. Yeah, it's fine. You got everything at the palm of your hand. But at the end of the day.
You don't know any of it.
You don't know shit. I'm going to learn carpentry off of this. Get the fuck out of here. No.
You'll learn it on the job.
Go on a job, and then you're going to learn. Don't get me wrong. Some YouTube stuff, I got to change this or do. Yeah, you
can learn some tips and little 100%, tricks. 100%.
But at the end of the day, you want to be a carpenter. You want to be an electrician. You want to be a plumber.
Site. Get on right site. Next
They're going to show you exactly what to do. You're working with a guy that knows.
Yeah.
Like, I believe in that, man. Like, and I believe, like, your mentor is, like, I should, like, I'm old school, man. Like, my mentors, you know what? Some are dicks. Like, they, but there was guys out there that took the time.
Yep.
And they're going to teach, I'm going to teach you how to make this glass, man. Like, actually teach you how to make this glass.
They cared about it. Sharing the knowledge. That's the thing.
And I've been in a lot of trades. Like, I started in carpentry. I'm like, I don't want to do this shit. I tried to get into mechanics, right? So I worked in garages, right? But same thing. I worked with a lot of good mechanics that would, oh, no, Pete, if you do this, it's easier to get, you know, your wrench down there to whatever, right? You know what I mean? They teach you. Then I got into, it's gone now, but I don't know what it's called, Magellan or something, Fleet Industries, building airplanes and stuff. I did manufacturing, right? So I would build parts, same thing as we were forming the parts. you know, I'm just learning. The guy, my mentor would come, you know, if you hit it like this and you sort of slide your hammer, you're stretching that metal. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But you think I would have learned that out of a book? No.
Nope.
It's on the site, because man. He came and he showed me.
It's on the site.
Hit it like this and, I'm going to do one and you're going to follow my lead, right? Then I got back into the carpentry end of it, right? Same thing. Like I started doing hardwood floors, right? You know what? You got to slide underneath here. Like, because back then it used to be you put all your casing up, everything. Hardwood floors always last. The reason it was last so that way you drop something where you're not ruining it. Because
you don't damage it.
You don't damage shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got to cut the door jams, all of that. You know what I mean? I hear guys now, we do the floor first, cut the, and then you go in there, a big scratch on the floor or whatever. Whatever. Everything's changing. I get it.
Put the floor down. Just protect it to hell.
Yeah, you got to protect the shit out of it.
That's it.
That's it, right?
You do the other way around, then yeah, it's fine.
It's a catch 22.
Yeah.
So you can do it this way or that way, right? But you have the guys that said, this is why we do it. And this, I'm going to show you how to do this. Get this like this.
Yeah.
When I put on trim, I'm going to show you. This is why I cope the trim. There's expansion there. You're not going to see it. This is why I do this.
You can see a video, but it's a lot better to see it in person right in front
because
of your eyes.
He's there, and you're doing it. And then when you go to do it, if you do, no, put your saw like this or do that or twist your, you know what I mean?
And
like,
any good mentor will let you do it. And if you make a mistake, they'll explain to you why the mistake was going that way.
Yeah, exactly.
And then now you got another shot to do it again, right?
Well, that's it. And that's the way I look at it.
When it comes to spray foam and blown-in insulation for your next project, there's no better team than Mohammed and his crew at Foamit. With well-educated, skilled installers, Foamit doesn't just get the job done, they do it right. They take the time to properly estimate and educate you on every aspect of your project, ensuring your building envelope is airtight and energy efficient. As leaders in the industry, they bring a deep understanding of building science to every job, making sure your project stands the test of time. But don't just take their word for it. Past clients constantly praise the quality of work and professionalism of the Foamit team. From homeowners to large-scale contractors, feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, with clients appreciating their attention to detail, the thoroughness of their crew, and the results that speak for themselves. At Foamit, they pride themselves on building lasting relationships through exceptional service, reliability, and the commitment to exceeding expectations on every single project. Whether you're insulating a new build, upgrading an older property, or tackling a commercial project, Foamit is your trusted partner in achieving energy efficiency and comfort. They understand the importance of getting it right the first time, and that's why so many clients return to them for future projects. Connect with Foamit today. Reach them at 416-893-8712 or 647-961-9777. Email them at mohammed@foamit.ca or visit them at www.foamit.ca. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn to see their latest projects and innovations. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
I remember when I got into SCAFA, I worked for a company named Aluma, right?
Okay.
So I came from residential. And then I moved my way up, and then I get into like commercial work. I was on the casino, right, doing form work and stuff, right?
At Falls U?
Oh,
really?
Yeah, I was on that project back then, right? And then from that project, and I was like, and I was always the guy, I never got laid off in my life. I always left jobs, right? And now I get laid off.
Because like, they'll call you and you'll produce, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, what the fuck? Laid off? What? Oh, my God. Like, freaking out. Like, what do I do? And the guys are like, relax. It's the way it is, man. There's so many guys on that site. It's the way it is. So I got a call out to this company called Aluma, right? Great guys, right? Good guys. And it was hilarious. I never, at the time, I knew what Baker scaffold was, right? Yep. I knew certain shoring scaffold, stuff like that. But I never did systems or all around or anything like that. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, like a deer in headlights. Like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? Guy goes, you'll learn. All right.
You'll get it. You'll figure it out.
That's it. So first he put me on the rope. Okay, can you tie knots? Yeah, I can tie lots, man. Let's go. Let's tie knots.
I don't think they teach knots enough to guys in the trades.
They should. They should, like, literally, because you know what? Like, especially, I'm going to tell you real quick. My biggest pet peeve is when guys are, you're the ground guy and you're roping up the material. You're underneath the material. They stand literally underneath it and they're going like this.
They're just.
Where do you think that's going to go if something happens?
Right to you.
Hey, you're done, man.
I know. Like,
here's the knot. Go over here. Yeah, look at the rope. And I literally grab the rope. You see where the rope can go? Look.
And if it's windy, give me a break. Pay attention to that, too.
Pay attention to it, right? Yeah. So anyway, so besides that, you know what I mean? So, and then the guy was like, I'm going to put you on a rope. Fine. I was on a rope for like months. I'm like, this sucks. But I'm learning every piece of gear. Get a ledger, 7-foot ledger. I need a dog bone. I need this. I need a side bracket. I need a standard. I need, you know, decks. Da, 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 da. I'm learning all the language, all the sign language, and do this, do that. And right on. So I start doing it. Oh, I need a clamp. Okay. So then he goes, okay, you know what? I think you're ready to start pounding away here. So he put the same thing. He was a really good guy. But that's, like I said, it's the person that you're working with, yeah. Right? He took the time. His name was Brian. God rest his soul. He's passed away. His name was Brian Willick. Awesome guy. Like, I really respect that guy.
How long was he in the game?
He was in the game for years. Like, I mean, like 30, 40 years. Yeah, like a long time. And I got lucky with the crews. Even when I joined Tower, like Steve Sabo, Dave McDonald, all these other guys, like great guys, taught me more, kept learning from everybody, right? And that's what I...
But that's construction.
That's it. I don't care how old you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to always learn something. Like I said, apprentice might come on, it's a fresh pair of eyes. I might go, you know, if you did this, holy shit, that works, right? And that's how I learned. I just, you know, and then, okay, well, now I'm going to get you to climb up there. You're going to go with this guy, tie off, okay. And I'm passing him the gear, so I'm watching what he's doing. Now you're going to try, do a bay. But I remember we did the Homer Bridge. Okay. This is going back, 2002 or something like that. And, or maybe even whatever, it was like 2003, whatever it was, way back in the day. And the one guy, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding, right? So he's like, so we're building, right? And right now I know scaffolding, I know how to build, right? But I don't know everything, right? No. I just know.
You'll never know everything.
No. Yeah. So he's like, well, we got to do a cannon lever off of here, and we got to do, you know, we're going to come up so much and tie this into the bridge. Blah, blah, okay. Blah, right? So, okay. So start building away, right? I'm thinking, I'm going great. Woo, I'm flying, right? He's just passing me here, and he's, okay, stop. Okay. I got like two lifts on, right? And then he goes, oh, it's okay, come here. Calls me back. He goes, now look at it. So I'm looking at it. He goes, you see what you did wrong? What the fuck? What do you mean? No, it looks great. He goes, no. He starts picking it apart. See, that brace ain't supporting that. That's not supporting this. Like, that's no good. Because you got to remember point loads and guys are going to be on this working. He goes, now you're going to tear it all down. I'm like, what the? I was so pissed.
So he let you.
So he just let me go, right? But I'm telling you right now, I never, the end of the day, because I just thought, oh, I was getting cocky, right? I know what
course,
I'm doing.
Of course.
Because you get, you know.
And it was good that he let you.
Exactly, right? And then he goes, tear it down. And then he helped me build. Now we're going to build it together.
Yep.
And then we built it. And then I learned.
And you never forgot that.
Fuck no. Because I was like, I do not want to turn around. You
had to build the next one.
Yeah, I knew exactly what I'm doing now.
How am I going to start? No, how am I going to do it?
Exactly.
But that's sometimes how it is.
You know, don't get me wrong. He made sure I was safe. His name was Jimmy Chambers.
Okay.
Right? He kept it safe. Like, I wasn't like in harm's way. He always made sure everything was safe. But he made sure. You're going to fucking learn, kid. You think you're all that coming in here and you're fucking whipping around?
I honestly think that the majority of people in the industry, you know, want to teach their skills
they
off.
They do. Man. I think so. I think what it is a lot of guys like me, older guys out there, they do. They want to pass it along.
They
want to
pass it on.
They want to pass it to you. It's the young guys that got to come in and get rid of the, like, I'm going to be honest, a lot of
ego.
They got the ego. I can do whatever. It's a lot of these young, they just get rid of the ego. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a better place. That guy who's been doing it for 30, 40, 50, 60 years is going to teach you, man. And he's, and hey, give him the insight. If you see something, say something. You think that
bring
guy,
it up, but discuss it. But don't demand it.
Yes. Yeah. No, we should do it. Like, no, say, hey, I just thinking if we do this, okay, well, let's look at it. Like, I've had guys like say, hey, man, maybe we should do this and do that. And then I ponder it. And I'll be like, well, yeah, but like, we're in a pipe rack right now. So do you realize if we base out here and then we, see that pipe right there? It's going to screw us. That's why I want to base out here, because we got to get around that pipe.
I think.
Make the suggestions. You open their eyes.
You
too,
should make
right?
the suggestions, but have an ounce of respect for the person that's been there
100%
for a year or two, possibly a decade or two more than you have.
Exactly.
Don't forget that respect level, right?
Well, yeah, I think it should be there for everybody, right? You know what I mean? And
vice
versa,
too, right?
And vice versa too. You got to respect that kid's coming in. He wants to learn.
Of course.
So you have to respect that kid. Cause I've had a lot of guys come in green, man. And now they're, you know what? It's funny. Like, I got guys that still, they don't even work for me anymore. And they still call me and they're like, hey, I was on this job and I'm like, I'm not even, but I'll give them the
I'm
insight.
Not even your foreman,
I'm not
man.
Even your foreman, man. Yeah. But they're like, yeah, but you know, I'm just, you know, this and this and that. I was just wondering, if I do this, do you think that's okay? Like, what do you, I'm like, well, yeah. I
said, do you think they do that, Pete? They contact you so they can look like rock stars on that job site, and then the foreman there will go,
how did you figure that out?
I don't know, maybe. But I'm honest. I'm like, you know what? I would do this, discuss it with your foreman, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bring it up to him, right? And maybe that's what they're doing. To me, it shows me, like you said, shows me a sign of respect.
Yeah, that they that's actually what I mean. Yeah.
Trust that,
yeah.
Hey, man, you know what? This guy took the time with me, showed me. And man, like years later, you're going to call me, or like months later,
yeah, eventually you're they'll company. Do the same thing to somebody that's younger coming in.
And that's what I'm hoping, right? Because now it's like, hey, you know what? He helped me. I'm going to help them.
Exactly.
Right. Like, and that's like, it's I got a couple guys. They go, you're my father scaffolder, or you're my father carpenter. I'm like, okay, whoa, now I'm not that old, brother. Like, you know what I mean? You're in your 30s, man. Like,
I think that shit happens as soon as you touch 50. As soon as you get 50,
I think so. It's like,
that's when that shit happens.
Yeah, like, whoa, man, I'm not that old, man. Yeah. Right? But it's pretty funny, right? And we joke around or whatever. But the respect's there, right? And I always tell them, like, you know what? You're doing great, man. Like, or, you know, I know their boss or whatever. And I've heard from your boss. He says you're doing great. He loves what you're doing, right? You know what I mean? So that's the good thing, right? So at the end of the day, like, yeah, like my son says, like, what the fuck, you know, everybody, because I've been around, right? And a lot of these guys are getting into, you know, if they leave me, they're going to a guy that they've been with, right? You know, like, I've been with them already, so now they're with them, and now they're like, oh,
that's you really want that, because you want them to learn from different people.
That's it, right? Like, it's funny, like, my son right now, he's working with a guy, and me and this guy actually worked together years back. Right. And he's like, oh my God, like, what the, like, that's good though, because now you're learning from this guy.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's also improved or learned his.
Exactly. Yeah. So now he's going to teach you. And he loves working with, my son loves working with this guy. Right. Yeah. And his, like, he's just like, this is awesome, because if he runs into a problem, right. And he's like, okay, well, this cabinet's not fitting, the wall's going like this, or the wall's going like that. Like, he'll call him and say, hey, you know, this is what's happening. Okay, well, and he'll work with him and say, now, if you run into this problem, do this and tweak this, and you're going to tweak and cut this like that, right? Oh, all right, thanks, right? So that way now, you know, you took the time. Okay, and I look at it, like, I hear some guys and they're like, oh, well, I don't have time for that. Okay, I look at it, if I just take 10, 15 minutes, right? I show you something to tweak, or I show you something to whatever, right? That 10, 15 minutes now, I just showed that apprentice or another journeyman or whatever, right? That could save me hours down the line.
And it will.
Right? Because running into that mistake all the time. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know what to do. And he's not going to be like, oh, shit, now I got to figure this out again. Oh, now I...
Do they not, like, the younger kids realize that you've got a wealth of knowledge on these job sites? That these guys have been doing it for decades, and they perfected it, and maybe you haven't learned everything in school or in a book or online, social media, that all of a sudden these guys are going to train you. They're going to show you some tricks that you never thought of that they've been doing for decades.
I think some do. I think some are cocky. I think there is a lot of them.
It's a mix of it, right?
I think it's a mix. I think there's a lot of them that do. A lot of them will give you if... But I think, like I said, it all comes to how you approach... Everybody approaches each other. Right.
I mean, there's nothing better than a professional tradesperson and what they've learned over the years.
100%.
And then not having the ego and having a lot of respect for that person and just asking them, okay, well, I never thought about doing it that way.
I'm with you 100%, like, for sure. Because, like, the other thing I believe is, like, these inspectors and stuff, like, I have a buddy of mine, he's an electrician inspector. Great guy, man. I've watched him go through the ranks. We've went through the ranks, like, me as a carpenter, him as an electrician. Basically got into the fields around the same time. He's been doing it for over 30, like, he's close to my age.
Okay.
He's been doing electrical for over 30 years. And this is just my opinion though, right? I just look at it like this. Now he's a CSA, like, electrician, inspector. Like, he's the guy who comes out and, okay, I'm going to see your box. I'm going to check your wiring, all that.
Yeah.
My, you know, because he's a master electrician. Like, he's gone through all the ranks. I think that's the way it should be, my opinion. I think what should happen is, like, a carpenter. You want to be an inspector for houses and stuff like that.
Oh, 100%.
My opinion is you should be a carpenter for so many years. So, you know, you've built houses, you've done it, you've, right from, like, what I
don't agree with reading a book and writing a test, man, like, and then getting on a job site.
No, I think you should be on the job site, through the ranks. So that way you've had at least 10, 15 years under your belt, right? Now you get in that inspector position. Now you're the one going on, but you know, you know what, Manny, like that over there, like you got to tweak that.
Yeah.
And you can't do that, but you know, because I used to do this. Not, well, this book says, you know what I mean? Like I fixed a house for a buddy of mine. And it was funny because this other company came in, and what he did is, so he had his basement, and then he had a doorway over top, right?
Okay.
And he wanted another doorway underneath because he wanted to make a little crawl space, right?
Okay.
Because he did an extension on his house. So what happened was when they cut the doorway underneath, they went past. So say your doorway is here. So they went over here. I can't remember how far now, but it was like over here and over here. Now you weaken that structure. Okay.
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
Because everything's forced, right? So that doorway takes that load, transfers that load down. So if they would have been underneath, right onto the concrete, that's going to take the full load. No problems. No problems, right? So what happened was my buddy got caught. Like, you know, the inspector comes in, does his job, looks and goes, oh, well. And he showed me, you know, I went upstairs. Your door comes to here. But when they cut your concrete, you cut to here and to here. So you're past that threshold.
Yeah.
It's not good. You got to do something here.
But the inspector was knowledgeable enough to notice that.
But here's the catch. He was knowledgeable enough to know that, right? So then my buddy calls me up and goes, oh, shit. Tells me about it. I said, no problem, man. Relax. We can fix this, right? I go to his house. I said, I just got to come over, see what's going on. I said, okay, so what you're going to do to take that load is we're going to triple up, you know, your floor joists. We're gonna make it a beam. We're gonna laminate it, right?
Okay.
So by laminating it, now you're making and you have to, when you do it, you do a certain pattern. Like you're putting glue in there.
Yep.
And you
your nailing pattern, your screwing pattern, a bolt, or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. So I said we're gonna triple beam it, right? Like triple, like three. It's gonna be
three a beam.
Three ply it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And we're gonna go past. So now it's on each side of that wall.
Yeah.
So now you got your concrete. So it's sitting on the concrete.
Yeah.
That's gonna pick up that threshold of whatever. Yep. I can't even remember. Not even a foot. I think it was a foot or whatever it was. Right.
But the weight above is being moved.
It's gonna transfer through this beam onto there. And I said we don't have to take anything out. Yeah. I'm just gonna add wood.
Yeah, that'll work.
So you know he's like, all right on. Like he's all happy. So I go in there. It was a bitch of a. You got no room, but we put it in. Got everything. You know, I had to get jack up the floor just a little bit so I can make it. You got to make it perfect, like, you know,
course,
level and everything. So,
course.
You know, and we laminate this right in there, glue the shit out of it, do the pattern, come in, boom, done. So the inspector comes in to check. So this is a young guy straight out of school, right? Oh, that's not good. I was pissed. So my buddy calls me. He goes, well, he's saying up. I said, get your fucking inspector. Oh, sorry.
No,
I said, get your inspector down there right now, right? I said, I'll challenge my, I got my ticket. Tell me that's not going to pass? No way, man. I'll challenge my ticket. So then he calls the inspector and he gets in a, like, listen, man, like my carpenter said this should pass, right? So what happened was another colleague of the inspector,
a different inspector
comes down with him. Well, you know, because now, you know, you got your, you know, feathers.
I've been in this situation.
A feather in a ruffle, right?
I know.
They come down. The other guy goes, oh, yes, exceeds. He's like, I don't know. He goes, yeah, don't worry. Well, he signs off, like right there, he goes, I'll sign off on it. It exceeds. Don't worry about it. Right? So this other inspector, because he was looking at the book.
Why was the young guy so quick to just dismiss it?
Man? Exactly, right? So, you know what I mean? Where this other guy was an older guy, I guess, or whoever. But
did the young guy challenge it?
No. No, he just like, okay, exceeds it, yeah, because he's, you know. And then, my buddy called me up, okay, don't worry about it, it's all good. Okay, because I was ready to go down there and just like, okay, let's talk, let's see what you really know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I've been in the trades for a long time here. Like, at the time, I bet you it was like, I don't know, 20 years, 20-something, like 25 years.
If you are a business owner, subcontractor, or client, you know that trust in this industry is huge, and Contract Alp helps build that. Not only do they get a solid contract for your projects, they built in an e-signature tool for you and your clients. The contract dashboard also has a digital live log that records every step of the project, plus a rate and review system for both the contractor and the client. This means more transparency and accountability for everyone. Stop running your business on an estimate and a handshake. Protect yourself with Contract App. Book your free demo or sign up today at www.contractapp.ca and use promo code TCL to get your first month for free. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Even, I've got respect for inspectors right? that come on your job site.
Don't get me wrong.
They don't start to speak until they've surveyed.
Exactly.
So when they walk around.
Look at stuff.
And they look at stuff. 100%. And they look around stuff. They look underneath stuff. When they're looking and surveying. And then they want to have a conversation.
100%.
Then I know this is going to be a professional conversation. Yes. And then we're going to get to a nice resolution.
Exactly.
It's not going to be about egos coming in, you're the young punk or whatever. It ain't going to be any of that shit, no. right?
Right.
So we can build it a certain way. And we also know enough people that have taught us to build it a certain way that we know that this will get passed. This will be good and signed off. But if a young guy just comes in, nope. Okay, well.
What do you mean, no? Right, tell me, right? Because he's like, that's not.
That's what I kind of say sometimes.
That's why it's.
I wish you came in instead of your ego. You know what I mean?
Right. You know what I mean? So
could have left the ego at home, and then we could have had a professional conversation at that.
And done, right?
So and the young guys, and I always tell them on the show that guys, don't be afraid to challenge, man.
Oh yeah,
there's always somebody else higher up than the person that's there.
For sure,
just challenge it.
Yeah, no.
You have the right to challenge it and question it, and then you have the right to go do your homework and find out, or bring in the old timers and go, listen, how would you handle this? How have you? Listen, it's not a new detail in construction. No. You've come across a situation where you've got load over a door opening and you have to transfer that load. We know the basics of that, but every job site is custom and unique, but there's still principles that can be applied to any of that.
Exactly.
So you can challenge it.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? So my buddy, like I said, he challenged him and then
And rightfully so.
Oh, 100%, right? Because he's like, man, like my buddy's been a carpenter for like, I'm going to trust.
There's bridges and buildings that are still up because he worked on it and other skillful tradespeople worked on it.
Right.
So if they're still up.
This is going to be up. Right. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
See, what else you want to share before we wrap up? I want to do with the 12 questions because we have new 12 questions. But anything else you want to share?
No, like I said, just check out Zeps Gear. We're going to have
it out. www.zepsgear.ca.com on IG under Zeps Gear. And then also his email is zepsgear@hotmail.com.
Yeah, like I said,
you got a sale going on.
We're going to have a big sale coming on.
Starting when?
I'm not 100% sure. Me and Cicely, and we're in talks right now to figure out when because it's
next month summer. Or this month or
might be next month or something June? Like that. Maybe, yeah, just to get them out there.
So just keep an eye on it.
Yeah, keep an eye out there, right? We got a big sale coming on. We're hoping to get, like I said, I'm dealing with different manufacturers in Canada and the States and stuff like that. Hopefully, get new gear up, right? We want to try and blow this out cheap.
Nice.
So that way, hey, you know what? And it's good. It's not like it's all. Like
It's just stock that's on stock the shelf.
That's on the shelf. We just want to get it out
ready
there.
For the winter get season ready coming up.
Yeah, exactly. Get
not
it,
even
get,
the winter, the fall season.
The fall, yeah.
It gets chilly up there, man.
Well, that's it, right? That way you're prepared for next year, right? Let's get yourself prepared. We got the black ones for the roofers that are in a residential. You don't have to wear all the high-vis and stuff. We have those. A lot of people love them. And then we got the yellow high-vis right now we're getting out.
The cooler days, man.
It does. Like that, man. And it's a shield, too. When it's windy out there and you're up there, it actually shields that wind, man. It helps. It helps big time.
You ready for this?
Yeah, man. Go for it.
A person you would trade places with for a day.
A person I would trade places with for a day. Oh, man. That's a hard one. I like my life.
If you don't want to trade places, you don't have to.
Trade places for a day. You know what? Like the only thing I haven't done, I've done timber framing. Like I've done all aspects. I think for a day, I'd like to trade places with a guy who does log homes. That's the one
that
part
would
of
be interesting.
One part of like I've done timber framing with a buddy of mine.
Yeah,
we framed up a timber house. That was very cool, man. Like cutting everything with the big saws and everything. That was about like.
But log is even.
15. But log is a whole other realm. So that's, for a day, I'd like to.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. Just to, then I could say I got everything under my belt, right? Like I'm almost there, right?
I like that
but,
one.
But timber framing, log, right?
A log.
I've done timber and log framing. Yeah, because I've seen it, but I've never actually done it. So.
And I don't. Yeah, that's something you got to do in person. You got to do
it. Oh, yeah. Site. None of this.
You can't watch this video online. And just all of a sudden.
No, you got to do that in person and actually do it, man.
What's your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure. Let's see, my guilty pleasure would be drinking, I guess, or, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I got, because I'm supposed to stay off the booze and stuff, so.
Who's telling you that?
I have a heart condition, right?
Oh.
So, yeah, so I shouldn't really be drinking, right?
I learn something new every day. So, booze affects the heart?
Yeah, I know, right? But wine's good, no?
Wine's good. Just ask the French. What's your least favorite tool?
My least favorite tool. Oh, man. I love tools, man, to be honest.
You don't have one tool that's annoying?
What tool is annoying? Oh, man. I'm just trying to think here.
I would say the one tool that's always expressed is the multi-tool, the oscillating tool. Just the sound of it, right?
You know what, though? It works for certain
applications. It's a useful tool. Yeah, that's why I mean.
But the sounds of it does suck. Like, it's like, man, like.
I don't even know what, like, what's the least favorite tool?
I don't know, like, to use, like, all tools are very handy. I'd say one of the loudest, like, you know, tools, I guess, would be, like, even when I'm banging with a hammer and stuff, because it's like, oh, God. But I like the hammer, but I use it every day. But at the end of the day, man, it's like.
It's tiring.
It gets tiring. Your arm's like, oh, my God.
Biggest risk you ever took?
The biggest risk is Zeps gear.
Building that
to you know what I mean.
Keep bring building it, man. Don't stop
bring something.
It.
Bring something new into this world where it's nobody. You know, it's hasn't been done, right? To be honest, like you have a slit in the jacket, but that's not Zeps gear, man. That's like it, where man. I actually took it, where it works. Like I've done it for every harness now. So yeah, I think that's the riskiest thing I've ever like. Just jumping in. I'm not a business guy, so just jumping into making stuff and trying to make this a business and. And putting it out there, something new to put out to people, to have people say, you know what? Like, yeah, man, this makes sense. It's the riskiest thing I've ever done. It's a big risk taker, that's for sure.
Best compliment you ever got?
The best compliment I've ever got is from my workers and stuff like that. Yeah, you know what? And you know what? Oh, that's one. It's a hard one. Even my daughter and my kids, like my kids are like, you're the best dad. That's like, to me, it's like,
that's nice.
Right. And from the workers, it would be like, because they're like,
you don't want to hear them say that you're
not the best dad, but they're like, you know what? You're a guy I want to work beside where, I trust you and believe in you. Right. So
that's foreman.
Something like that. Yeah.
What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage. Oh, man, I think last time I said orange juice when I was here because I love orange juice.
Probably.
But I do love orange juice. I still love orange juice, but, you know, right now, Corona, like, I have a nice Corona. Like, they're nice going
down. Almost Corona weather season.
I think so.
Summertime. What never fails to make you laugh?
What never fails to make me laugh? My kids. I'm going to be honest with you.
Good.
I'm a big family man, and just seeing the quirks that my kids do, like, my like I said, my daughter, she's 25. And she's going to be a lawyer, very smart girl. But some of the stuff she does, it's like, are you serious? Like, come on, kid. Like, you 10 now? Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, some of this. Like, right now she's visiting and she's hiding these little figurines in the fridge and stuff to get mommy going, right? What the fuck is this? You know what I mean? It's just stupid stuff like that. My other daughter will come
makes
in.
Makes you and, laugh, though.
But that's the thing. Like, my other kid, she'll come in and do this quirky dance. Like, I'm like, what is wrong with you right now? Like, or my son has like, sometimes he'll come up with some stupid comment and you're like, did you just think of what you just said? Like, you know what I mean? Like, come on, kid. Like, I love you, but Jesus, like, seriously? So I think, that's my kids. My kids are the ones that, bring the joy. And
worst piece of advice you ever got?
The worst piece of advice I've ever got is, to be honest, is don't worry about the next guy, just fucking, right? To me, like, that's bad advice. Don't worry about the next guy, just fucking keep trucking, man. And no, man, at the end of the day, like, everything I do, everything anybody does, be honest, right? It's not, I don't care who the fuck you.
I keep swearing. You can swear, don't worry, I know.
I don't care who you are. Like, all these big, high-powered guys or whatever, you always have a team, man. Yeah, somewhere. So, yeah, no, you got to worry about the guy beside you. Yeah, 100%. Like that's the worst, I think, advice I've ever got.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Well, I've been in a couple professions. I went back to carpentry.
Doesn't have to be construction related. It could be something else.
What profession would I like to try? Like, well, I guess I would say clothing designer, but I did it. What profession? This is a hard one because I do like everything I've tried.
Nothing new to try?
No, there's always something new. There's so much, right? Like to draw from, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like I've helped my buddy do electrical. They're very cool, right? Plumbing. I'm not a big fan, but I've done it, right? You know, like all the trade. I've done pretty much parts of all the trades, right? Like I've done cement. I am Italian.
Cement.
I've helped bricklay and stuff like that, right? Yeah. Just helping guys and stuff. Just trying to think. Like, I wish, you know, to be honest, I wish I was a little bit in English, like better. And maybe try to do something more business oriented where I, you know, type away. Because it comes to English and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not the best speller. And it's like, you know what I mean? But maybe something like that.
If you're passionate about it, don't worry, man. It's fine.
You just got to plug through it, right?
Like, that's what you are, right?
Well, that's the thing. With my jacket, like, I was never a designer. Like, you know what I mean? But then I was passionate on making something that is going to help people,
and that's how,
and doing it the right way.
Yeah,
and that's how it came about. I just had to find that right person, like Tammy. Thank God, you know, helped me.
That was by fluke too.
Yeah, it was, right. And you know, and that's how I became starting like making designs, and you know what I mean, like, and putting stuff out there that is feasible and makes sense to people. And you know what I mean, it just, at the end of the day, like my daughter always says, it just makes sense. You know what I mean?
Favorite curse word?
Obviously, you could tell it's fuck. I've been trying to hold back, but...
Favorite vehicle, any mode of transportation?
Oh, my favorite vehicle. Oh, man, I got... that I drive now or something I would like
to... Could be anything, anything
you want. I like my hot rod.
You got a hot rod, huh?
Well, it's actually my wife's, technically, but I drive it. It's a 53 Chef pickup. It's slammed. It's got no roof on it. It's all custom. Deck? Right?
Is it a wood bed?
Bed, actually, I got it all pulled out right now. I'm going to put a wood bed in it. Right? So it's going to have a wood bed 53? Back in it. Yeah, 53 Chev pickup, man. It's a different looking vehicle.
What color?
It's orange, right? It's got pumpkins all over it. It's like a guy I bought it off of was like all in pumpkins and Halloween. So I started sanding it down, and then I seen another mural in the back. I just left it on there. I'm like, that's pretty neat. It's that, I forget that skull. The skull guy, the white skull, and I forget what his name is.
From the animation movie?
Yeah, yeah, okay. He's on there. And
Jack Skeleton.
Jack Skeleton. Okay, it's got Skeleton on the back, and it's That's cool. Graveyard scene.
How's the engine?
Actually, I got rebuilt from Faravani's. They're not around no more, but it's a 305. It's my silent killer there. It's got a voodoo cam in it, high compression pistons in it. It's a
nice... Your English is pretty fine.
I'm just saying, like, actually spelling it right.
No, but I mean, like, that's what I mean, passion, follow it. Yeah. And that's it.
That
don't see those vehicles on the road.
No,
that
man, more like that's, that thing's
I think that that's any nice guy truck. Will look at that vehicle driving around.
It's a head turner, right?
Yeah.
It's a one of a kind, that's fairing, for sure.
Like the everything is
like, but I've always wanted to own a Porsche. I don't know if that would ever come, but I
you
know,
53.
I keep my 53 though. I'm telling you that right now. I don't think I trade it for anything. I've been on the verge of trying to sell it, and I'm like, you know what? No, I can't sell it. I just can't sell it.
Oh man.
I'm just gonna keep this thing, man. It's just, you know what I mean?
Like, at some point, your kids are probably gonna have a conversation with you about it.
Oh yeah, my daughter right now. I want to drive.
Who's gonna get it?
Yeah,
who's gonna get it?
My son, he's got a 1985 Grand Prix. I've been helping him fix that up, and I just bought a 442 Cutlass for my oldest daughter. That's going to be like, you know, she's going to help me work on that too. Like, nice. That's going to be for when she gets out of her university and becomes a lawyer. Right. So, and then my middle child, she's like, I don't got nothing. So she's like, I'd like to drive that. And I'm like, well, yeah, first of all, you got to talk to mommy. Technically it's hers. Right. So I said, we'll see. And I said, you know, and at the end of the day, we'll see, maybe someone will come along. You know, it's just one of those things, right?
You never know.
Never know.
Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
What would I like to hear God say? I would just like to hear him say, you know what, you helped others as you were going forward. And, you know.
I think you did a little bit more than that, man. You actually saved lives too, right?
Oh, that'd be nice.
I would go that far,
I would just, like to, something like that. You know what I mean? You helped others as you were going forward and going through life. And you tried to make your world a better than you left it, right? You know what I mean? But I'm praying to help save lives 100%. That's the goal with this jacket, right? Like, I don't want to see nobody go through what I went through, man. Like,
no.
It sucks, man. I tell you that right now, right? And then that way, like I said, wear your harness properly, man. Snug it up when it's actually just on, you know, it doesn't feel so bad.
But other people on the job site, also pay attention. If you see someone who doesn't have the harness on correctly or doesn't have the jacket on correctly or what have you,
yeah,
speak up.
Exactly.
Say something
to your fellow person, man.
Yeah.
100%, man. Don't be scared to say, hey, man, zip up, or hey, man, like,
they're not going to bite your head. They're not going to be angry. Just say something
just to protect your fellow person,
That's
man.
That's it.
100%. No matter man, woman, doesn't care, child. You protect that person, right? At the end of the day, let's all go home safe.
Yeah.
And that's what I would want God to say. Hey, man, you help people. He left the world a better place and, you know, leg up to everybody else, right?
Awesome. Thanks, Pete.
It's always good to see you, man.
I appreciate it. Keep doing it, man.
I'm not going anywhere. Don't you worry.
I'm seeing you on Sunday, right?
Yeah, I'm going to come here Sunday. It's here, right?
Yeah.
I'll be here Sunday, so I'm not getting out of your hair.
No, I don't want you to. No, I appreciate it.
I'm
going to
come bug everybody that's here, you know.
Yeah. And talk to everybody and start talking.
100%. Yeah.
And I'll bring up the messaging as well, too.
I appreciate it. I do appreciate guys like you that help me support.
No problem.
You know what I mean? Like, and
I believe in it, dude. Trust me. I'll always believe in it.
That's the thing. Like, the company I'm working with around in Canada, like they're like you, they're like, this should be mandatory. Like, we got to try and figure out a way to get it
cheap. Let's see what we can do. Introduce you to a few people that I know that I've met over the years.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, guys in DeFasco, guys at Esso, guys like iron workers, boiler makers, electricians, plumbers. Like, they all, you know, at one time or another, like, everybody's plumbers. What do you mean? Well, they work outside too. You don't fool yourself, man. You know what I mean? They're in lifts. They're in,
what do you think? Saying, like 90% sprinkler plus systems. Like,
yeah, man. Everybody's
wearing a harness at some point.
You got to wear at some point. Why not just be prepared? You don't, and that's the killer. Like, I got, well, I don't need the jacket because I don't wear a harness. But you don't need a harness with the jacket, man. You can wear it as a regular jacket every day.
Yes, exactly.
But if all of a sudden your boss says, hey, I need you to put this harness on just for today, you're prepared. And it's the middle of winter, or it's raining out, or it's, you know, windy out. You got a soft shell, whatever, right? Because I can put my patent on anything, like literally anything, coveralls, whatever. You know what I mean? I can literally put it on anything, right? I'm just trying to take it slow this time and build it proper, right? And awesome. Build a better machine, as you could say.
Keep it up, man.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Pete. I appreciate it.
I really do appreciate it.
We'll talk to you soon, man.
Yeah, man. I'll be around.
That's it.
I'm not going anywhere. Thanks.
We're out of here.